We are coming to message 3. So maybe if we could open up our packets to message 3 on the conference on the victory of the overcomers. And let's read the title of message 3 all together. Okay, ready? Go. The victory of the ignorance concerning the result of our Okay, so this may be a little bit of a confusing title. The victory over the ignorance concerning the result of the debauchery before God and the insult to his holiness. What this is here, if we can take it in its parts, is as a result, or I should say, there is a result. There is a result. There is a result of debauchery before God and insulting God's holiness. There is a result to this. It doesn't just escape. It's not just left alone. There is a result. And what we need to have the victory over is not so much immediately the victory over the result. We need to have a victory over the ignorance of the result. Now, this is touched again in Roman numeral 2. But since it's the title, I'll go ahead and say a little bit about it now. The whole world today is either mocking God or dismissing God, attempting to dismiss God. You know, all those things that we talked about during the question and response time, especially when we had, who was it that was up and had to be against everybody in the room, right? Yeah, very. You did a good job. Even the whole world says, if the whole world says something is right when the Bible says it's wrong, whose side do we take? The whole world or the Bible? Huh? The Bible. You know why? Because the Bible is God's word.
Amen.
God's word. And God's word matches with who we are. Who we are. If we take another way other than his word, we'll feel uneasy inside. We may feel, and for a while, we may feel liberated. Hallelujah, I can do whatever I want to do. But inwardly, we just won't be at peace. Because God's word is sure, and God's word is true, and we were created in such a way that we correspond, even the ones who are not saved, have what's called the law of good in them. And it corresponds to God's word. It says right to God's word. That's right. It takes a lot. It takes a lot to change that feeling within. That's why society has to be relentless, 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 and keep telling you the lights are off, the lights are off. And you're like, they're obviously on. I don't know what you're talking about. The lights are on. But for decades, there's been this push. No, they're off, they're off, they're off. And now you know what the professors in the colleges and universities are saying? They're saying the lights are off. And it's going to take a strong young man to say, they're on, they're on. I got to stand on the truth. So the whole world is trying to discount God, to write God off as something archaic, something old-fashioned, something for a previous generation, you know, as if that's possible. And their attempt at doing this, why are they doing this? Why are they doing this? There's a reason. They're doing this because if they can get God out of the equation, if they can remove God from the scene, then they can do whatever they want. You see? They can do whatever they want. Such people Such people are living in ignorance. They're living in ignorance. And because they're living in a fantasy that God is not real, they're trying to convince themselves of this and trying to convince you of this. They're able to live in ignorance. You know what ignorance means? Ignorance is a kind of a complicated word. It means they're trying to live as if they don't know. They just ignore it. They're trying to ignore God and live, but yet they know God is real. God is real. God is definitely real. What we need to see is there's a result of such ignorance. There's a result. There's a result. And we'll see it. We'll see it. And we need to have the victory over that ignorance. You see? That's the complicated title. I spent some time this afternoon while you guys were recreating. I spent some time wrestling with this title. Because it is kind of a complicated thing. But what there's a living that results in something. And what we have to have the victory over is not so much that living, but the ignorance that there's a result. You see? You see? I can tell. You see? There, it's like this. It's like, you know, I've got kids, right? I have two precious, dear, adorable little girls that I miss very much. And what if I told them? I said, Daddy's going away to San Francisco. And when I get back, your room, you know, you've been living in sloppiness. Now, that's their living. It's not really. It's actually pretty clean little girls. They get that from mom. You've been living in sloppiness. Now, I'm telling you, when I get back, if your room is a mess, there's going to be a result. You know? You know what I mean? You know. Right? Not going to be so good. And then I go to San Francisco, and he spends his time ignoring the result. No. Nothing's going to happen. No. Daddy isn't real. He convinces his sister, his six-year-old sister, Daddy's not real, you know. We can live however we want. Yeah, and they start messing up their room more and more, you know. But inwardly, she knows. You know, if Daddy's real, and Daddy's coming back, and there's going to be a result. Right? So he better not live in ignorance of that. I should say, she better not live in ignorance of that. Well, because I have a daughter, you know. So anyway, okay, that's the title. And this is a big deal. What time? I started at what time?
8:00.
Okay, so I should stop by 9:00. Okay. This is a big deal. This is a big thing to get when you happen to be around 12 or 13 years old. Anybody about that age? Very good. Okay. Anybody 11? It's even better when you're 11. How about that? Anybody 14? An old, fogey 14-year-old? No. Okay. When the younger you are to learn that there is a result. There is a result. You can't tell the Lord one day. You can't say, oh, I was ignorant. And say, no, you were at San Francisco. You heard the message about this. You're not ignorant. You're not ignorant. And it's wonderful to be not ignorant. Because then, you know what you do? You clean up your room. And then when Daddy gets home, you get hugs instead of spankings. And that's wonderful. Right? Okay. Let's read Roman numeral 1. In chapter 5, concerning the case of Belshazzar, we see the importance of being serious with God and not disregarding any spiritual lesson. So we need to see that it's important to be serious with God, you know. On one hand, our God, oh, it will just amaze you as you go on in life. It will amaze you that our God is an ocean of forgiveness. He is an ocean of forgiveness. Time and time again, you'll need to come to him and just say, Lord Jesus, I blew it again. Oh, forgive me. And he'll just wash you in his blood. And then you'll say, I'm sorry for doing that. And he'll say, sorry for doing what? You know what I just did. What did you just do? Because the Bible says when the Lord forgives you, he forgets it. It's amazing. He separates what you've done, your sin. He separates from you. You know how far it is? It's separated as far as the east is from the west. Which way is east, which way is west? It's gone. He has divine amnesia. So on one hand, our God is an ocean of forgiveness. On the other hand, it's good to learn our God is not mocked. You can't play around with him. You know, Mommy said to take two cookies. I know she said that. But you know what? I just learned our God is an ocean of forgiveness. So I'm going to take 9 cookies and then repent real quick and be great. I get the cookies and I get forgiven. Hallelujah. Well, you may get the cookies and you may be forgiven. But our God is not mocked. I don't want to say too much about what that means. You'll just find out. You'll find out. God has a way. He's not as dull as you think he is, you know. He's been around for a while. He's very good at being God. And he sees how many cookies you took. Yeah. He knows. When your parents said, go to bed at 9:30, and they went to sleep, and you stayed up till 12. Your parents may not have known. You know who knows? The God who was not mocked. He knows. He knows. I don't want any of you to think, then I'm too scared. I'm not going to come to God and ask for forgiveness. I'm not. No. You need to keep short accounts when you're touched in your conscience to confess. You need to confess. You need to have clarity and certainty that the Lord forgives you of this. But you also, on the other hand, two sides of a coin, two sides of a pancake. You need to realize, on the one hand, this is right, but on the other hand, God is not don't mock him. Don't play with him like that, you know? Okay, we're going to see an example of this. We touched it a bit on Friday, but we're going to get into it a little bit more. Although I really don't want this time to be a heavy time, so we're going to hit these points, and then I have some positive points that I want to touch on this outline as well, okay? So we just read what? Roman numeral 1? Let's read A, 1, 2, and B. Okay? Go. Belshazzar,
a descendant of Nebuchadnezzar and king of Babylon,
made a great feast
for 1,000 of his lords, and he drank wine before them.
Here, debauchery before God. Debauchery. Adulterous purposes. And B, Belshazzar, under the influence of the wine, commanded men to bring the gold and silver vessels that Nebuchadnezzar, his forefather, had taken out of the temple in Jerusalem, that is, his wives and his concubines, might drink from them. So you remember Nebuchadnezzar, right? He's the one that had all those dreams. And he had the dream of the great human image, right? And then he had the dream of the tree, that great tree, right? And then he saw that that tree was cut to its stump. And it was bound by iron and bronze. And then he went through. That was him, his kingdom. He was removed. His tree was cut. His tree was cut. And he went about as an animal on 4 feet until he realized the heavens rule. It's not me, it's the heavens. And he, in a sense, he honored God. He looked up and he said, there's a God in heaven, and the heavens rule. And then he was restored. He was restored. That was Belshazzar's father. That was his daddy. No doubt daddy told his son about that experience. No question. And then son. While I was in the height of my pride, he might have said, while I was taking a walk on the roof of our temple, not temple, palace. And I was in the height of my pride, speaking about my glory. While I was still speaking, I became a beast. And I spent time eating grass like an animal until my reason was restored. And I confessed that God is in the heavens, and he and the heavens rule. And then, son, I was restored. That happened to me. Don't forget that. I'm sure they had that conversation. But now here he is, Nebuchadnezzar's son, having this feast. And he invites 1,000 of his lords, which is 1,000 of his noblemen, to come. And his wives and his concubines. And they were just partying there. Just drinking, you know. So that the wine had a control over them. One time when I was in high school, some friends of mine were getting together, you know, and it was in the evening, and I wanted to go. It wasn't a party. At least they didn't call it that. And I just wanted to go. And my mom was a little suspicious. And, you know, rightly so. And so she said, well, I prefer if you don't go. And then I asked, why? What are you concerned about? And she said, because if there's alcohol there, things just happen. You know, things just happen. And I said, Mom, I promise you, if there's any alcohol there, I'll leave right away. And she says, okay. So you know what happened? I went, and I walked in the door to this place, and there's all, you know, the people there. And I went, and somebody held up a bottle. And it looked like champagne. And he goes, I brought the alcohol! And I had just walked through the door. You know? And you know what I did? I can't believe I did this. I said, I gotta go home. And this guy goes, why? You just got here. The party's about to begin, you know, holding this up. And I told him, I'm a high school guy, and I said, I told my mom that if there were alcohol here, I would leave. So, see ya. And he laughed. He's, you know, like, you little kid, you know. And then I looked, and I saw he was the only one laughing, that guy. Wow. He was the only one laughing. Everybody else respected me for that stand. And then he took down the bottle. He said, it's only apple cider. So I stayed. But this is how. We'll see in some point. I keep jumping ahead. This is how we need to be. This is how we need to be. You know? Belshazzar was, it wasn't apple cider. This night, It wasn't apple cider. They were drunk with this, and they had lost their senses. Belshazzar called out. You know, and when a king tells somebody to do something, they do it. He forgot about his parents, about what his dad told him about honoring God. And he went to the other extreme. You know, it's really not old-fashioned to listen to mom and dad. It's really not. It's really not. Belshazzar didn't listen to dad. And instead of learning the lesson, he called out for the holy cups of the temple of God to be brought before them and filled with alcohol. And they used the holy things for their own debauchery. And it was a sinful situation. You know what happened? There was a rioting in the midst that night while they were there. A hand appeared in the room. A hand appeared and began writing on the wall. And nobody could understand what that meant. But it was something. And so he called in all of his wise men. Come and tell me what the writing on the wall is. And they came and they couldn't help him. And they said, we know of a Daniel. You know, I find this very interesting. This is later on in his life. This is later on in Daniel's life. And they're not calling him by his Chaldean name. They're calling him Daniel. Which means he didn't let them change his name. The kings always tried to call him by his Chaldean name. You know, the enemy, Satan, will always try to call you by who you are not. But the people that know you, they know, no, this is a son of light. He's not like all of us. So he came in, he saw the writing on the wall, and he told Belshazzar. Let's skip down to point two. This is what he told them. Roman numeral 2, point 2. Okay, you see it? It says you, right? Okay, let's read that. This is what he said. Go. You, Belshazzar, have not humbled your heart. Gods of silver and of gold, of bronze, iron, stone, hear nor know, but the God in whose hand is your breath, all your ways belong. So he began by saying, you, Belshazzar, have not humbled your heart, though you knew all this. What does that mean? Though your dad told you of all of this. He knew it was wrong. He knew all of this. But he thought, who cares? I want to have fun. And he disregarded all that. And so now there's writing on the wall. And before Daniel explains the writing, he says this to him. Like, look, you knew to be careful. You knew to have to be humbled. You knew this, but you just disregarded all of it. And now that writing on the wall, you know what that says? This is what it says. It says, you have been weighed on the scales and found lacking. Lacking. That night, it means Belshazzar, his living, his was weighed by God.
and found lacking. That night he was killed.
That night, and his kingdom changed to the Medo-Persian Empire. That night, everything changed. Brother Lee said, there's no sign of him repenting. And he said, because he probably didn't have time. Anyway, I said I didn't want to make this a heavy, time. But we need to, we need to understand. God is not mocked. God is not mocked. Despite what it looks like on TV, with all the things, God is not, there's a God in heaven. In spite of the debauchery of today's society, in spite of the parties, in spite of all the things that they seem to get away with, God is not mocked. There's a God in heaven. And there's a result. There's a result of that. He got the result that night. He got the result that night. You know, in certain parts of the country, I don't know about up here, but in certain parts of the country, young people are fighting with drug abuse. Alcohol and drug abuse. I know of some cases. I can name names. They're really fighting with this. Smoking this and smoking that. It's really terrible. And you say, well, I know it's not bad. I mean, I know it's not good. I know it's bad. My mom, my dad, they told me. Just like Nebuchadnezzar, my parents told me. But I can get away with it. I'll just try it once. You don't know. There was a star basketball player. Stellar, amazing. A lot of talent. He was recruited by a top college to play on the team. Full scholarship. His future was probably NBA. Good kid. Never drank, never smoked, never did any of those things. He got into a college life where people were just living as if there were no God. He went to a party and they had marijuana there. And they pushed him and pushed him and pushed him. Listen, there are certain things we need to decide well before we're asked. So we know what to say. I was talking with one high schooler who was addicted to this stuff. A church kid. And I knew him when he was younger than you. He was this cute little boy running around the meeting hall. And now he's, at that time, he was in such a bad situation. And I asked him, I said, how did this begin? How did this even begin? He said, well, one day somebody at school asked me if I wanted to try this. And he said, I didn't know what to say. So I said, I guess. And so he tried it. And one thing led to another, led to harder things. And eventually his life was at risk. And I said what I just told you. I said, there are some things we need to think about well before we're asked. Having a intimate relationship with somebody before it's time, the answer is no. Is no. I know what I'm going to say. I don't have to think about it when it comes. Right? You know what to say. The answer is no. And if that person doesn't love you anymore, they never loved you to begin with. The answer is no. Drinking alcohol The answer is?
No.
It's just no. We're not just saying no. We're saying no with a purpose and an understanding. And we'll see what that is. Anyway, this college star, he said okay. He took one smoke, one thing. It had a reaction in him that was somewhat rare, but not altogether uncommon. It had a reaction. He went into convulsions that night and died trying it one time.
Wow.
You just don't know if you can get away with it. It's better. It's just better to learn from our parents and say, you know, I think my dad is the squarest guy in the universe, and my mom is just so uncool. But, I'm going to pick these things up from them and know what not to do. And I'm not going to be ignorant of the result of living this way. There is a result. Okay. We're on point C, right? Okay, good. Praise the Lord. Okay, now let's get to a positive point. Hallelujah. Point C. Let's all read point C. Okay, ready? Go.
God created man as a vessel to contain him. And out of many vessels, he chose us to contain him. The God of honor, that we might be vessels of honor.
So God, this is what's behind our no. It's not just no because mommy said so.
Right.
Although if that was the only reason, very good. Very good. But it's no because you're a vessel.
Amen.
That's why it's no, brother. It's no because you're a vessel unto honor.
Amen.
Listen, contrary to what your science teachers might be trying to convince you of, you are not an ancestor, you are not a relative of a monkey.
No.
That's right. You are not.
No.
You were created. You know, monkeys might have two arms and not eight arms. They might have one nose and not six of them. They might have two eyes and not like a fly have a lot of eyes, you know. They might kind of look, you know, somewhat like a junior hire. But apart from having much too much hair, they are so different than man. When I was in Canada, I told the young people there, I said, and I forgot her name. There was a scientist that lived with them.
Oh, yeah.
Jane, right?
Something like that.
Huh?
Jane Good something.
She spent, I mean, not just the weekend with them. She like moved in, right? And she spent a long time with them. She was like part of the family with them,
right.
And she was so accepted that the like monkeys, you know, they would come to her. And you know, they just sit with her, like, hey, welcome family, you know? And then they would push her and things, just like they do everybody else. And then they would, like, look in her hair for bugs. Like they do everybody. I saw a video of this, you know? And they would, oh, see, there's one. No. You know, and they would, you know? And then she would look in their hair and... She was one, I don't know if they're called pack or herd or gaggle or whatever they are, family. She was one of them. And you know what she was doing, which they weren't doing? She was taking meticulous notes about their behavior, what they did, all the time. She just documented everything they did. You know what something they never did? Not a single time.
Never called them the Lord.
They not only that. When they found a big bunch of bananas, they never said, wait, let's stop.
Thank you, Lord, for that.
There was no inclination of the divine in them. There was no sense, there's a God in the heaven. It was just, there's bananas on the ground. And to them, that was all there. You know why? Because they don't have a spirit. Monkeys do not have a spirit. All they have is a body to swing from the trees with and a soul to want bananas with. That's what they got. They do not have a deeper part. They do not have a deeper part. So they never even lift their eyes to heaven. They never wonder, what is the meaning of monkey life? What's it all about? Isn't there anything more than trees and bananas? I want to make something of my life. I want to become an orangutan. I'm going to move up. There's never those kind of thoughts. Nothing. It never comes up in them. They're just like, another day with the banana. Doesn't get any better than this. You know? Or a cat. A cat. I use this example sometimes. A cat. Right? Some of us think, oh, for the life of a cat. You know what dogs do? Dogs chase cats. You know what cats do? They don't chase mice. They lay on windowsills. They just lounge. They just lounge there. Cats just lounge. So that's why I say, oh, for the life of a cat. To just lounge. Who would like to just lounge around? Yeah, okay. How about this? How about if we said, okay, you not only can lounge around, you must lounge around for 3 years. All you will do is lay there on the windowsill, and that's all. And eat catnip. For 3 years, you're just going to lay there and not do anything. Would that be heaven or hell? You know why it wouldn't be good? You know why? Because you have a purpose.
Amen.
Really? You, right there, you, Miss Gap. You have a purpose in you that cats don't have. Because the purpose of a cat life is to lounge around, maybe chase an occasional mouse. But lounge around and not come when you call them. That's the cat's life. But you don't have that kind of life. You have a life that wants to have a purpose, that wants to accomplish something. That desires a meaning. You know why? You know why you have that? Because you were made in God's image. So don't listen to the professors that say we're just like animals. We are so not like animals. We were made in God's image. How were we made in God's image? In this way. Listen to this. This is amazing. Okay, I need a volunteer. Thank you. What is your name?
Stephen.
Listen. Brother Stephen here. This is an amazing creation. When God made man, He made man in according to his likeness, according to God's likeness. So when he made man, he made man outwardly to look like him. Don't we look alike? He made man to look like him according to God's likeness. But here's the amazing part. That's outwardly. Inwardly, God made Stephen, right? God made Stephen not just to match him outwardly, but to match him inwardly. How did he do it? He did it like this. God has certain divine attributes. That's who he is. It's a fancy way of saying what makes up who he is. Certain things. God is love, he's light, righteousness, holiness, all of these things. These are God's divine attributes. God made in Stephen human virtues to match those divine attributes. Now don't get lost on me. What that means is that Stephen corresponds to me. He corresponds to God. Okay, an example. One time, Brother Ed Marks was, when quite some time ago, he was helping with some construction. And he took a break for lunch, right? And he was sitting with the other brothers by the cars having lunch. And he came up, and he got a part of his lunch, and then he bent down to get the rest of his lunch. And you know what was happening? A dog had come in and was eating Brother Ed Mark's lunch. Right there beside him. And Brother Ed Marks is like, "That's my lunch!" And the dog, you know what he did? He just ate the lunch and he's like... There was no sense of guilt, no sense of righteousness, you know? I don't know whose lunch this is. It's here. I'm eating it. That's Brother Ed Marks' lunch. Dogs don't have this sense of righteousness. When you come out of a store and you get to your car and your window is broken and your radio is gone. Yeah. Where did that come from? From your sense of righteousness. Not, okay, on one hand it came from, oh man, you know, oh guys. But the real anger is from, hey, I worked for that. That's mine. I worked for them. These guys just came, smashed my window. It's gonna cost me more to replace the window than get the new stereo. And they're gonna sell that for like half. That's not right. Yeah. You have in you, Stephen, a sense of righteousness. Because God is righteous. All the attributes of God has the corresponding virtues in man. And here's the thing. This is the case whether that man is a believer or not. All of your friends at school were made in the image of God inwardly and with the likeness of God outwardly. All of your friends. Your friends that are good, all your friends that are bad, they were all made like this. Thank you. But we were made like this with the purpose of containing a treasure with the intention of receiving and containing God. Let me say that again. With the purpose of receiving and containing God.
Amen.
Amen. Not bananas. Not mice. Not Ed Mark's lunch. God. What higher content could we have? Receiving and containing God, the creator of everything, the powerful, omniscient, all-knowing, never inexhaustible God. Can you stand up for just a bit? What's your name?
Wendy.
Wendy. Look at little Wendy. Can receive the all-inclusive God into her being. Because she was made as a vessel to contain God. She's like a glove that was made in the image of a hand to receive the whole hand.
Right.
Not a finger, a thumb, the whole hand got into her. When she called on the Lord, this little vessel became a vessel of honor.
Yes.
You know why? Because she has the most honorable continence. What is more honorable, Wendy, than God? Forget about kings, queens, presidents. God is in you.
Amen.
Thank you. Turn to your neighbor and say, neighbor, God is in you.
Neighbor, God is in you.
Now tell your neighbor, neighbor of God is in me. That's right.
Poster.
That's right. This is your content. Yeah, that's right. Yeah, yeah. You were made in such a way, not, see, when you try to put, when you try to, see, you were made like this, a glove, but you were made empty. All of your friends, even you, before you received the Lord, were empty. You were just empty. It was just empty in there. And it's a big emptiness. You know why? Because it was made to contain a big package. It's eternity in you that's crying out. And nothing under the sun but God alone can satisfy that calling. Blaise Pascal, a French mathematician, he realized we were made like vacuums in the shape of God. Men is always trying to fill themselves, you know, fill themselves with iPads. Doesn't fit. Fill themselves with with shoes, you know. Doesn't fit. Shoe doesn't fit. Here, look, let's try to fit it. It kind of gets on there, but that's an empty life. To give your life, to give your vessel, to give your vessel to clothing is this. Show them what that looks like. Stick your foot up in the air. Ah! I know of a sister. Sorry, you don't want it back. No, it was just on his shoe. I should have asked you before I did that. I know of a sister who really wanted to be a fashion designer. She wanted to give herself to that. So she moved to Paris, to France. I mean, what a home, you know? Fashion. She went there. Doesn't fulfill her. Doesn't fulfill her. So you have to be filled with something. So you try to find sports. Imagine this on a basketball. You know, some get desperate. They get desperate. And so they try to put alcohol in here. Music in here. Music won't fill it up. So the answer is, turn the music louder! Maybe louder music will fill it up. And all, now all they have is a glove that's deaf. Because of too loud music in their eardrums. You were never, the secret is you were never made to create, to contain those things. Wendy, right? You were made, here's Wendy. Little Wendy. She was made. She was made like this?
No.
No. No. God will not shortchange it. You were made, and when you called on his name, you received. You received. You received. The entire God.
Amen.
You know what you can do now? Now, not only are you filled. This is why it's a great thing to be a Christian. Aren't you happy you're a Christian? Amen. And this is why you're friends. You should just bring a glove to class on Monday. And just show them what I just did. Say, Susie, you don't have class on Monday, huh? Tuesday. Wednesday?
Tuesday.
Bring a glove to class and say, I want to show you what I learned over the weekend.
Yeah.
I learned that we were made in God's image, just like a glove is made in the image of a hand. And that we can try to fill ourselves with all kinds of other things, including popularity and clothes and all this stuff. But we were really made to receive God into us just like this, and it fills us completely.
Amen.
And then do your math.
What?
And she'll go. Tell me more. And then you say, come over to Brother Martin's house for dinner. His wife makes great lasagna, better apple pie, and he'll tell you all about it. So we were created to contain God, not just to contain God. Okay, I need another volunteer. Quick. Okay, this is Satan. You know who knows this? You know who knows this secret more than we do? This guy. He probably saw God form man out of the dust of the ground. He probably saw he made all the animals according to their kind, but man was made according to God's kind. And he realized this man is the center of God's plan. So he realizes this. And what happens is, when we get, thank you, when we get God into us, not only are we satisfied, because we can express God now. We're made in his image and expression. We can express God. We're happy. But we can also exercise God's dominion on the earth. You see? Now we can exercise. You know, the hand can do a lot more in a glove, right? Now there's a way. Now man is filled with the content to deal with the enemy. I didn't say that. Deal with the enemy. That's why, okay, here's your... That's why, listen. What you are, okay, Stephen, who said you can sit down? Stephen. That's why this person is so amazing. You see, this is a vessel. A vessel created by God. This is an amazing person. Really.
Stay there. Stay. Where's my outline? Oh, here it is. I got it in my hand. Okay. Let's read through point two and all the points. A, one, two, three, and then we'll go all the way down to B. And let's even read C, okay? You stay up here with me. Let's have all the brothers start on A. All the brothers start on two. Sisters, A, and we'll alternate going all the way through Roman numeral 2, all the points there. Okay? Go.
Daniel and his companions were ignorant concerning the result of debauchery before God and the insult to his holiness.
Sisters A.
At Jerusalem.
One,
Belshazzar should have learned the lesson from Nebuchadnezzar's experience. However, he did not learn the lesson, but suffered as a result.
Two,
you, Belshazzar, have not humbled your heart, though you knew all this, but you have exalted yourself against the Lord of the heavens, and they have brought the vessel of this house before you, and you and your Lord, your wives and your concubines, have drunk wine from them, and you
have praised the God of silver and of gold, of bronze, iron, wood, and stone, which do not see, nor hear, nor know, but the God. You have not honored. Three.
What Daniel records in this chapter is based on a spiritual view or spiritual lesson.
B. On God, that our hearts would not be weighed down with debauchery, drunkenness, and anxiety of life. And C.
Our heart is full of anxieties, and it has no room for God.
So we were created like this. We were created in a wonderful way, saints. And so, the question is, what is going to occupy this young man? What is going to occupy him? He was created to contain God. Once God comes in, he never leaves. He never leaves. Once you're saved, you are always saved, no matter what happens. Once you're a son of God, you're a son of God forever.
What God does is eternal, and he makes no mistakes, and he will not leave you or ever forsake you. He is your God forever.
But when he enters into you, he enters into your spirit. The question is, what about your soul? What about your mind, your emotion, and your will? What do you love? What do you love what God loves? What do you choose? What is occupying your mind? This is a lifelong question. Lifelong. The anxieties of life. They're things of life. You have to have a house. You have to have a car, eventually. You have to have clothes. You have to have food. You have to have, eventually, you need a family. You know, all these things. These are the necessities of life. But we got to be careful lest these become our goal. And we're just anxious all the time. So here's a man. He's made in God's image to contain, receive, express God. And instead, he's filling himself with a job that is just occupying him all the time. He only has time to computer program code. He doesn't have time for the meetings. He wants to do more programming so he can get a better car. He's got a Honda, not good enough. He wants another letter on the front of his hood. And he gets another letter. And then he wants another symbol on the front of the hood. Now he wants a couple of hoods with different kind of symbols in the front of those hoods. And he's always wanting more and more. He's filled with these anxieties. And then he comes to a meeting. And he's in the meeting. And he's there in the meeting. And everybody is enjoying the Lord. And he's thinking about the next hood. What letter will that have on that hood? That's when you get older. Maybe right now, you're here. You're a Christian. God is in you. But what's in your mind is, why did that sister say that about my hair? You know? What did she mean? My hair is interesting. Interesting? Your whole life is just your looks, your hair. Or a brother. I can beat you in basketball. Why does he mean he can beat me in basketball? So now you're just in the meeting thinking about hair or basketball. Full of the anxiety, you know. We need to learn. We need to learn how to set our mind on the things of the Lord. Set our mind. Thank you.
The more we set our mind on the Lord,
in the midst of all of our anxiety and things. The more the Lord has a way to drop by drop make his home in your heart.
Amen.
And you know, that drop is golden. Golden oil.
Being placed in a golden vessel during your golden years for a golden lampstand, which is the church, which consummates in a golden city forever. What you gain of clothes, what you gain of popularity, what you gain of any material things is temporal. What you gain of the Lord is eternal. When your mom says, "Take out the trash, honey," and you know it's your brother's turn, and you say, "Okay, Mom, drop of gold in your golden vessel." When you're in the meeting and the serving one says, put the iPad away. Put the iPod away. And you go, "Okay, brother." Not, "Okay, brother." You know the difference between obeying and honoring? Obeying is outward. That's, "Okay, Mom." And you do it. But that's not honoring. Honoring is, "Okay, Mom. Even though it's not my turn." And you don't even say that. You just say, "Okay, Mom. I'm going to go do it. And you come back. Gold. Gold." Here's a way to get gold every time. Here's a way to get gold every time. You're on the computer. And something pops up. Something pops up. And you realize, not so good. Not so good. And part of you wants to click on it. And the Lord says, "Close the window." And you say, "Okay, Lord." And you close the window. And you don't go there. Gold. By saying amen to his word, you buy the gold.
Amen.
You're on the internet for 3 or 4 hours, and he says, "That's enough. That's enough." And you go, "Amen, that's enough."
You know, I read a study that said the average time a young person spends on the internet every day in the States is 6 to 8 hours a day. When you count up all the time they spend on their studying, all the time they spend on their phones, texting, all of these things. Spend a lot of time on the internet. How about this? How about this? Not 6 to 8 hours, but out of whatever you spend, how about redeeming some of that time on the internet? We know we can't have you stop altogether, but how about redeeming some of your time? Chat with somebody about the Lord. Let your Facebook friends know I'm a Christian. Post that on your wall. Find sites on the internet that talk about the gospel. Let me tell you, first announcement. This has never been announced in a conference before. There's a new website. It's like 90% done, but it's up there. It's called thegospelofgod.org. The gospel, not just gospel, thegospelofgod.org. It's an internet site for junior hires and high schoolers to post up there what's happening for the gospel at their schools in the Lord's recovery. It's really something. Spend some time, redeem that time on the internet. We've got an army of young people on the internet in the Lord's recovery. We should enlist you all.
Amen.
That was a strong amen from the serving one. We should enlist you all.
Amen.
You can buy gold on the internet.
Amen.
It's a novel thought, but it's possible.
Amen.
Okay. Point three. Daniel and his three friends stood up to be an anti-testimony. This anti-testimony is a separation. These men did not follow the tide of Babylon at all. They were the separated ones. They could not eat what others could eat. They could not drink what others could drink. They could not do what others could do. They were clearly different from others in everything. Even in his old age, Daniel was still a separated person. He did many things that no one who was in the world would do. Furthermore, he did not do the things that the world did. There was always a separation between him and the world. The whole world was going one way. The whole world was going one way. And Daniel and his companions were going the other way. The other way. The whole world was just flowing one way, and Daniel and his companions were like a salmon swimming, not with the current, but up the stream.
Amen.
Have you seen the pictures of this salmon jumping out of the water? Nothing can stop them. They jump up over a waterfall. They jump out. Bears are there to try to get them, and they just jump. They swim, not with the current. All of our friends are going with the current of the age. We need Daniels to go against that current. I told my mom, if there's alcohol, I'm going home. That wasn't swimming with the stream. That wasn't easy to do. Go up current.
Right.
Your friends will see this kind of life, and you can inspire them. The only result of going down current is just more emptiness. They'll find out the way to go is against the current, against the tide, and then you'll have a companion. If therefore anyone cleanses himself from these, he will be a vessel unto honor, sanctified, useful to the master, prepared unto every good work. We must cleanse ourselves from the unrighteous things and from dishonorable vessels of wood and earth. If we cleanse ourselves from these negative things and negative persons, we shall be vessels unto honor, sanctified, useful to the master, and prepared unto every good work. The believers are vessels unto honor with Christ as their treasure through regeneration. They are containers of honor because Christ himself is honor. He is the treasure within them.
Amen.
But we, let's all read A. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not out of us. B. The treasure is the Christ of the world. So we talked about golden vessels. We talked about your golden years, buying golden oil for the golden lampstand to consummate in the golden city. The kinds of people that live this way are the kinds of people that sacrifice their golden futures. The most precious thing you all have is your future. The world wants it. Satan wants it. God wants it. And the course is set in these years of your life. What is our future? We had the question about being useful to the Lord. You need to get your education. You need to get all these things. You need to take care of all of these schemes of the enemy. Not to be proud, not to eat the wrong kind of things, not to speak another language in the language of Judah, to hold God in honor, all of these things, and to tell the Lord, Lord, I give you today, and I give you my future. Hudson Taylor got saved when he was 17 years old, not much older than you, and on that day, at that time, very close to that day, not long after that day, he dedicated his future to go to China. Millions were saved as a result. What about our future? A future at IBM. A future at Apple. Is not a golden future. It's not. Let that, quote, golden future go. Set your sights higher than that. You might work there. You might work there. But that's not who you are. Rather say, Lord, I want a future. I want to be altogether consumed my whole life with spreading your word to the whole earth.
Amen.
Last point here. I spent 2 years in a country called Romania, and I spent 1 year in a country called France. When I was in Romania, we were in a town someplace, and there was an old woman who walked up to us. Old woman, all dressed in black hat, black dress, black shoes, completely black. I thought she was coming from a funeral. She was coming from church, quote, quote, church. Coming from the Orthodox church. She's been a Christian her whole life in that place. She came up to me. I was holding a book. And she said something, and I mentioned something about the Apostle Paul. And she reached into her purse and pulled out a picture, an icon of Paul. A picture of Paul. She said to me, she goes, "Da, da, Pavel, Pavel." And she kissed Paul and put him back in her purse. My spirit was provoked about this. She's a dear old sister. And I said something about the Lord. And she goes, "Da, Jesus, Jesus." And she reached into her purse